To end this hour, an homage and a puzzle. At a moment when we think about the humility and radicalism of Nadine Gordimer and wonder about the tangible change legacy of the soon-to-be outgoing first African-American U.S. President Barack Obama, at a moment where we are wondering, or maybe not wondering so much, if Hillary Clinton will run for president in 2016, where in history are we to place this revolutionary woman?
I stand before you to proclaim tonight, America is the land where dreams can come true for all of us.
1984, New York Congresswoman Geraldine Ferraro accepts the nomination for vice president on the Democratic ticket, the first such nomination from one of the major political parties. Ferraro was Walter Mondale's running mate against Ronald Reagan and George Bush, and we know how that turned out in November. But Ferraro stayed active in politics until her death in 2011, even commenting on the 2008 campaigns of Clinton and Obama.
You know, I looked at the candidates who were there. To be quite frank, I didn't even think of Barack Obama because I didn't know him. I never met him. You know, she's my senator. I've seen her at work. She's delivered. But, God, she's a woman. And every time a woman runs, it does have impact on what women and girls think they can do.
This year, on the 30th anniversary of her run, there's a new documentary that tells her story. Veteran TV producer and filmmaker Donna Zaccaro is the director and producer of Geraldine Ferraro, Paving the Way. Also, daughter of Geraldine Ferraro. Donna, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you.
Was your mother a victim of timing in that 1984 was early and perhaps late? This question of symbol versus tangible sort of feminist icon is a real tension in this film.
Yes. I don't know that I think she was early or late, that it was necessarily too early for a woman. What I think the issue was really, and a number of people in the film talk about it, that, you know, Reagan was so popular and the economy was doing so well. And Al Hunt actually says in the film that he could have put Jesus Christ on the ticket and they still would have lost. So her vice presidency, actually, when they did sort of all the tabulations and analyzed it, made a slight difference, which is more than any other vice presidential candidate actually did in a positive direction.
Is that shrewd of Walter Mondale in retrospect, or is it disingenuous in the sense that Mondale understood he couldn't win, so Geraldine, carry me into the White House is kind of the message there?
Well, it could have been seen as a Hail Mary pass or political expediency, as I think it was in the McCain choice of Sarah Palin. But, I mean, remember, back then, he was the first one to actually open the whole vetting process to people, all different groups that were excluded. He had not just women. He interviewed other women. He interviewed Dianne Feinstein, but he also interviewed African-Americans. He interviewed, you know, Mayor Bradley. He interviewed Latinos, Cisneros. So I really think this was, and I still think he sees this as an extension of all his civil rights work and opening the doors for other people to be seriously considered for this role. And she was a very credible politician, remember, at the time.
Sure, absolutely.
I mean, she had risen to leadership within the House within three terms. She was what is now called the vice chairman of the House.
Remind people and young women listening particularly what her origins were in the New York political universe.
Well, her first run for office was actually for Congress in 1978. She had, prior to that, she had stayed home. She had gone to law school at night while she was a teacher during the day, and she had stayed home while there are three of us, three children, until I was 13. And then she went and became an assistant district attorney in Queens and actually handled all the sex crimes, senior citizen crimes, and child abuse cases and created the first Special Victims Bureau and named it that. She was actually the one who named it that.
Was she aware of just how much attention she would get? We're going to listen to a little clip from the Geraldine Ferraro documentary, Paving the Way, talking about the 1984 campaign trail. Listen.
Someone said to me, don't you feel badly about all this stuff, the attention you're getting, and, you know, would you get it if you were not female? I don't feel the least bit badly about it. Not at all.
That's what she says in public. Did she ever nudge you and go, man, this is just carrying a burden?
Yes. It was a very difficult campaign. And in the film, I actually did bring up all the attacks that she and my father were subjected to. I mean, she was a first and she was a pioneer. So they understood that it was going to be different and it was going to be harder. And you know, I think if she hadn't run for vice president, she would have run for the Senate, and I think she would have won at that point. She didn't in subsequent races. So I think that's a real shame. I think she understood that she was—
A mistake or a shame?
No, I just think she would have been a wonderful senator. But I think that she never regretted having accepted that nomination because she truly felt that if she could conduct a campaign in such a way that was credible— she could show that women, she really felt that she was representing women, could be in the highest leadership positions in this country. And I think she achieved that. So that's, you know, even though they lost by such a landslide, I think one of the lessons, well, certainly of the film, but of her life, is that you can even have impact in failure.
What about impact in the Clinton years? A bond with Hillary Clinton, not so much. That part of the sort of Democratic Leadership Council that moved the party back to the right. What was her feminist mission, if she had one, as you understood it, as her daughter?
Well, she always felt that it was really important to have women in office. I mean, and actually, when you look at Obama, it's the same thing. Now that there is an African-American president, little African-American boys and girls know they can be president. Until you see yourself there, you don't really believe you can do it. So that's what was so important to her. So she continued to always campaign for women running for office, who were credible, obviously, and became very close to Hillary Clinton over the years.
Not that Hillary's asking for any advice, but what do you think the lesson is your mom would give to Hillary Clinton if she runs in 2016, based on her experience, based on her life?
Well, she already has a thick skin, I think. And I think my mother would say, well, you need even more of a thick skin. But then also to remember always what's important to you, your family, the people you're close to. And, you know, it's when you're in the midst of that sort of a campaign, it's just it's so difficult. I know she had talked to Hillary in the midst of her last campaign and said to her, you know, just try and make sure that you keep in touch with what's important to you personally.
Be yourself.
Through all that. Yeah.
Be yourself. And don't eat the shrimp hors d'oeuvres at the campaign events. Otherwise, you'll get food poisoning, that sort of thing. Donna, thanks so much.
Thanks so much for having me.
Donna Zaccaro is the daughter of Geraldine Ferraro, director and producer of a documentary about her mother, Geraldine Ferraro, Paving the Way. It airs on Showtime throughout July. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
A discussion of how Geraldine Ferraro might have changed things for women in politics. How has Barack Obama change things for minorities in politics? One of you in Florida, I would not say that he has, but he never promised that he would, so I never expected him to. Although I am African-American, I am not expecting preferential treatment. I think that he should do things for all people and not just one group in particular. Tyrone writes on Facebook that President Obama hasn't done enough. Tyrone writes, jobs, job training, and stressing upward mobility is what's to be addressed.
This is Danny Simon from West Bloomfield, Michigan. I think that the president is left with the option of waiting for a Supreme Court justice like Scalia or Thomas to retire so he could appoint someone that's less anti-civil rights.
Tell us what you think at 877-8-MY-TAKE or send us a tweet at The Takeaway. And if you want to catch up on that conversation or listen back to anything on the show, check us out at thetakeaway.org. Thanks so much for listening. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With three updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging and an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.